Off the ball. Rugby.
Really concerned about where the shape was going and where the club was going. I think you'll always have concerns. This player's not going to come out of Leinster in the next few years and say it was all amazing.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Settle in on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Guinness 00. Proud partner of Croke Park Stadium and proud partner of the GAA.
Welcome along to another edition of Settle In. Kevin Hanley is a man who simply would not come into studio until he was done celebrating Tips All Ireland over the course of the summer. Kevin, you're very welcome. How are you keeping?
Cheers, thanks, Owen. Yeah, it's been a good summer, as I said. And we made the most of it this summer, that's for sure.
What a way to win in All Ireland. That was absolutely stunning, from the Munster Championship, the lows of the Munster Championship in some places, to the madness of the end of that semi-final. Yeah. So you had it easy in the final in the end.
I wouldn't say that now. My heart wasn't feeling that, even though it might have been a bit one-sided in the second half. But it was some journey, and it was what dreams are made of, and as you say, the Munster Championship, there was knockbacks, there was sending offs, there was, we got well bet in one or two games this year, but it showed resilience, and I guess it showed character that, you should never give up, and you should always keep going, because, and have that belief, because, it's just to keep going, I guess. And I guess that's something that Tip had really this year.
Yeah, you were flat out, obviously, around Tip's run to the All-Ireland. You were involved in the homecoming down in Thurles. And I guess, Kevin, at this stage, you're really flying the flag for somebody with autism in the GAA. I often wonder, is that a fair thing to say? Like, I mean, flying the flag can often come with a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
How does that sit with you?
It's an honor, and it's a privilege as well that being autistic, and I'm lucky to have my voice, because there's a lot of autistic people who are non-verbal either, and they can't find it hard to communicate and different things, but I'm able to share my stories and share my opinions. But I guess it's just I don't think about it too much. I just kind of express what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, and I've been lucky that there's been a lot of great people that have given me a chance as well to share my story and to be involved in such big occasions.
This is something that you were aware of pretty early in life. This is something you've lived with autism your entire life, from a very early age, from like the age of 3 or 4, you're aware of this, and I guess it informs everything that you do in your life up until this point. You've known no different, basically.
That's a good way to say, I guess, because for autism, I guess there's different. Is a spectrum, there's not, you won't meet the same two people who are identical, when you meet one person with autism, you meet one person with autism, that's kind of a saying that a lot of people say, stick with, and it is true, because, there's no two human beings the same, we're all different, we all have unique differences, so I guess, with autism, you find ways of coping mechanisms when you're a kid and then becoming a teenager, sometimes it can be challenges and different things, but I guess you just kind of do things in your own way, and you don't want to be pushed either, because that can set you back and knock your confidence, socializing, meeting, making friends, expressing how you're feeling, having interactions, being in a social setting, that all can be overwhelming, and you could get overloaded, and you have to kind of have ways of dealing with certain things when you're in new situations, and and it's all about learning, and I've been lucky enough to have a good family, good friends, and my club as well, Solihull and Tip Football, they've really had my back, because, you know, I didn't, it was kind of later on when I was like a teenager when I started being helping and involved and going to matches, you know, because before that I was just kind of shy and quiet and, you know, I didn't really express and, you know, I was happy to be by myself, you know, and, you know, in school and I was shy, I was quiet, I wouldn't have done any interviews and, you know, everything that I've done now with Tip FM or Super Value, being an ambassador for the last couple of years, and I've been, you know, fortunate to have all those opportunities, but it's been a stepping stone, I guess.
Yeah, it feels that in your adult life, you've really come into your own. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, Kevin? I'd say so. And, you know, because, like, you know, be one thing I've always found being autistic, like, you'd be overthinking things as well. And you'd be, you know, oh, I should have done that better, or I should have done this. And, you know, like, you want
How does that manifest itself? Like, what are the things that you might overthink on a day-to-day basis now?
Just like when if you meet someone new for the first time, you're like, oh, you know, I showed myself right, you know, like, and I wasn't, you know, I didn't say something silly or stupid, you know, because your brain would be thinking and overload that, you know, to make a good impression, I guess. Just small little things, I guess. You just have to take it handy, like.
Yeah. As you've kind of grown and developed and maybe understood the world a little bit more, is that something that you just kind of accept after a while, that listen, that's always going to be a part of the way that I think after a new social interaction or whatever, just learn to live with it? Or does it actually lessen in your mind a little bit?
Yeah, no, I guess I do. I just live with it. Like, you know, an autistic brain, you know, it is wired different to someone who's not autistic. Like, you know, you think logically, you might see things kind of black and white or whatever. Like, you know, like, say someone tells a joke and, you know, you can't understand it because, you know, you take it literally rather than, you know, finding the funny side of things or whatever. But, you know, it's just, you know, the autistic mind as well, like, it's good, you know, it can think outside the box and it can, you know, see things differently if you're, like, I've been lucky enough as well helping with Tip Camogie and, you know, and you know, I might do something different to someone on, you know, that didn't think to do it that way or whatever, like, you know, like with the PR, social media, making videos and, you know, putting things together, promoting the game and stuff like that as well. Like, so it's, it's just the way I've always been, and I've, you know, that's my brain, like.
Yeah, it's fascinating because I guess when we're all kids, we all kind of have to go through the same sort of structure, through school, and things are quite, you know, black and white, or everything is kind of told to you that things are right, things are wrong, whatever the case may be. But actually, in your adult life, there's a greater room for growth, there's greater room for outside the box thinking. And it does seem that from, like, reading a bit about you and getting to know your story and even from what you've said today, that, you know, the getting to adulthood and working and being involved with the GAA is something that's allowed you to thrive.
Yeah, no, exactly. As a kid, and I talked about this on local media and Tip FM and different things that I did growing up, you know, for me, the education system, you know, I was lucky. Like, I did, I went to mainstream school and I went to Oola Primary School, and then I went to Cashman Community School, and then they had an autistic unit as well connected to the school. So, like, I did have, you know, mainstream school, and it did help me to grow and develop as a teenager, then going into adulthood. But, like, school was very structured, like, teachers and back then, you know, and it has moved on a bit and things are better. You know, like, there were some teachers 15 years ago didn't understand really what autism or, you know, how to really, you know, how I've explained this to you, how come you don't understand it? Like, you know, like, it was very rigid back then, you know, 15 years ago. But now it has, you know, there's teachers are more alert, more accepting as well. But it was, you know, it was just back then, the education system for me, like I left halfway through fifth year, and it was just at that point I just kind of had, and you know, I just reached the limit, you know, when you know something's coming to an end. And I just, you know, mentally as well, like my mental health started to suffer as well. And I wasn't in a great place back then. And I just needed to get out of it, because I know that this wasn't the path like that was going to develop me and grow me as an adult.
Right.
Back then.
That's a great deal of self-awareness, that last piece that you say there, that this isn't the path that is going to grow and develop me as an adult.
Yeah.
How do you find out or discover the path that will develop you as an adult?
Yeah, it's a good question, because like I was 17, nearly going on 8. I can remember it vividly. Like I'm 30 now, which I still believe I'm young. It's still young, like.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling myself as well.
yeah, like, you know, it's just you're as young as you think you are, isn't you? Like, so, but like I was 17 going on, and it was going at the end of the year. It was like around Christmas time. It was early December, and I was going to be 18 at the end of the year. My birthday was at the 27th of December. So before the Christmas holidays, I remember I just came home one day and from school back then, and there was a bit of disagreement where I had a teacher, I can't really remember, but there was a thing about I didn't do the homework back then, and you know, and I was just not able. And this teacher said something in the lungs of, you know, other students are able to do 2.5 hours of homework, why aren't you? And I remember that vividly, and I came home, and there was different things building up, and I just said to my parents when I came home, that was me, I was done, I wasn't going back. And my parents, you know, said, that's your decision, you're nearly 18. And I remember just crying and bawling, and you know, and I didn't know, I didn't feel like I was, you know, I was kind of in the right space either, and I just needed to get out of that whole education system and just breathe again, because I felt like I was just hemmed in, I guess.
Finding that opportunity to breathe then, what does 17 or 18 year old Kevin discover to actually give you that new lease of life?
Yeah, so my parents were quite good, so I remember just taking a week or two and leading up to Christmas. Then in January, we had my father managed to get me meeting with the Limerick College of Further Education in Limerick, and you know, because they had a lot of dropouts and people that left school, and I went, had a meeting with them, and I was lucky they had a place for me, and I was there for a couple of years, and it was just, there wasn't a pressure of homework or none of that. It was, you know, helping you develop as an adult, you know, reading, writing, and just socializing and finding yourself, which, you know, I just kind of grew massively then. And, you know, and that was a real turning point for me. And I managed then to have not been in the whole education and bubble, and I just, you know, that I was able to concentrate on myself. And, you know, and I felt that at that time was what was right for me. And, you know, I don't regret it. I don't look back and say, oh, I wish I probably stayed on or done different things, because like, we don't know where the path is and what opportunities come, because from that led on to different things, and you know, we just don't know what life, you know, what comes at us.
Yeah, because you mentioned there, and it's important for everybody to realize that at the start, that you know, just because you know one person with autism doesn't mean you know literally anybody else with autism, because of the spectrum and how different it can come across and how different an experience it can be for every single person. Do you think you are the type of person who actually would thrive outside of the structures that, say, come with education or whatever the case may be? Because it seems obviously like your end to your school life, obviously, was obviously not an easy one.
No.
But post that, things have it's been onwards and upwards from your perspective. So I do wonder if like the lack of the shackles, the lack of a structure around you has actually benefited you massively.
Yeah, no, it has. Like, it has really brought me out of my shell. It really has. Like, I was in National Learning Network for 3 or 4 years, and then I went on and went to Limerick College of Further Education doing TV and film studies.
Right.
And I did level 5 and level 6, and I passed all that, and then that led me on then to helping and working with Tip FM and Stephen Gleeson and Paul Carroll and then SuperValue as well, kind of seeing the work that I was doing with autism, with As I Am. So, you know, I kind of started writing blogs and speaking at different events with Adam Harris. He back then, he set up As I Am. So I just emailed him and he got me involved. And I remember going up and doing one or two events and speaking at different things. And it was, you know, there was just one thing after led to another, like.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's mad to think of all the things that can come once you, as you say, you have the freedom to be yourself.
What sort of feedback are you getting to that sort of ambassadorial role?
Great feedback, like, in fairness, like, people online, people you ever meet as well, like, you know, I'd be biased, but I find Tipperary people the best, like, you know,
they're not the worst, to be fair.
Yeah. You know, so, like, they've really had my back, and especially the Tip football public and the players and management and everything, that they've really had great belief in me. Like, I remember in 2016, obviously, the footballers went on that crazy run and we got to the All-Ireland semi-final. And it was that year I kind of just started going to more and more football games and was on the Tipperary football supporters bus. We went to Cavan, I remember, and then we went to the All-Ireland football final in a quarter-final against Galway and beating them. That was one of the best days I've ever had. That, you know, just because it was a small crowd of us.
Yes.
And that feeling, sense of unity and you know, people are all there for what you believe in as well. And you know, it's a great sense of community and a great sense of pride. And, you know, that it just shows you, like, Tip football mightn't had massive support and no one believed it, but they had a lot of good players back then. And they were able to go, you know, where a lot of Tip teams, football teams, struggled in the past. And, you know, it just shows you that, you know, if you believe in yourself, and I always have that mantra, like, you know, anything is possible. You know, like, you don't need, you know, you just need to have the confidence, have the belief. And you know, anything, you know, because, like, if I was going back to 15 or 6-year-old me, like, I would never have said I'd be on a national campaign with SuperValue, being an ambassador. I'd never have been helping out with Tip FM, Tip Camogie, Tip Football. Like, you know, that would have been, I just wouldn't have had the belief or confidence whatsoever.
And when I ask you about the feedback that you've got as an ambassador on that front, like, it's that sort of leading the way that I'm sure has inspired people. Like, do you get that sense from
I do, like, I really do, because, you know, I have been fortunate, you know, and I know there's a lot still into this day, like, I've heard a lot of stories that families, you know, they're still fighting for resources and, you know, like, you know, it has improved, but there's still, like, you know, for people with autism or any disabilities, you know, you have to get early intervention, and that's very, very important, because if, you know, I was lucky, my parents, and they had to fight for everything, speech therapy, you know, you just, because if you don't get that early intervention, you lose out in a window, you know, of, say, 3 to 4, 5, 6, you know, those couple
really?
Of years. Yeah, yeah.
So you've been doing speech therapy as early as you can remember?
Yeah, because, like, I was late, you know, for talking, like, because they were worried that maybe I wasn't going to talk. You know, and I was 5 maybe when I started, you know, putting sentences together, and, you know, like, I was slow at different avenue, you know, like kids, you know, you reach milestones and things like that. You know, I wasn't really reaching the targets that, you know, kids saw, you know, if you didn't have a disability or whatever, that you wouldn't, you know, you should be talking, walking, you know, developing. But like, that is what is very important, is like, the, you know, that extra help, that extra support to help the brain develop, to help to get, you know, to be able to adjust with and be involved in society, I guess, because, you know, it's you have to be given the, you know, the tools, and then you kind of, your brain then builds on that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Like, and to go from that point to being a broadcaster with Tip FM is probably part of the inspirational aspect of it all, and something I'm sure gives you great pride, and your family great pride. Like, I presume, Kevin, not everybody is lucky enough to have those resources, that there is a strain on the system here in this country, that, you know, your story should be one that is held up as a reason why more investment is needed and more support is required, because I presume most speech and language therapists are absolutely flat to the mat. There isn't enough of them, and there isn't enough money coming down from governments to ensure that everybody gets looked after to the extent that maybe somebody like you did.
Yeah, no, like, that's it. Like, there's, you know, because, and nowadays, like, there's better ways of, teachers are more alert that they can see when children are struggling, and they go to try and get an assessments. And, you know, there is more people now being, you know, having, say, being diagnosed with autism, and, you know, I have dyslexia as well, and, you know, that, so the pressure on the system is probably greater, because people are more and alert to seeing signs.
Yes.
Because, you know, I was lucky, I was 2, 3 when I went and got assessed and had that early intervention, but, like, there's people who go through school, and then, you know, there's even people nowadays and adults that are being diagnosed as autism, have autism, and it's, they've always had it, but they've just never got picked up on, and they just kind of got through life, you know, thinking they're a bit weird, or thinking they're, you know, like, strange or whatever, but they're not, like, you know, you know, that people, you know, people are unique and different, but the strain on it, you know, there is huge, and it's all about, you know, money and finance, and you know, because I guess if you give someone with autism belief and confidence, like, anything is possible, like, because you know, you have to have belief in yourself, and you know, it's not something I guess to be ashamed of, or to be, you know, to be hiding it, because, you know, in this day and age, we're all who we are, we're all you know, we're all unique and different, and we, that should be embraced.
Definitely. Did the GEA help you to embrace that?
You know, when I was nervous, like, to open that door, because, you know, I had setbacks, as I mentioned, you know, with different things in school, and not maybe having that connection with friends and stuff, and Tip Footballers really gave me that, and so, like, I would have followed, like, say, Tip Football and then Tipperary Hurling, maybe before my own club, because, you know, it was just, I didn't have a connection with my club growing up.
Yes.
And some people, you know, might find that strange, but I just didn't have the confidence. And then, for the last 5 or 6 years, they came to me because they seen the work I was doing with Tip FM and Tip Camogie and different things that I'd done with As I Am and stuff. And so they brought me in.
Was this the Tip Footballers initially, was it?
Initially it was the Tip Footballers. So as I mentioned, in 2016, Liam Kearns, he was a lovely, great man. And he would have been very enclosed in his camp, and he didn't like any media or different ones, intruding, because, he wanted everything to be secret, and, because they had tactics and stuff like that. But in 2016, after beating Galway in the All-Ireland quarterfinal, Peter Atchison gave me his jersey, and then he texted me to come down and get all signed by the players the week before the All-Ireland semi-final.
Class.
So I came down, went in, seen training, went to dressing room with all the lads. This was Thursday or Friday before the All-Ireland semi-final.
So Liam Kearns opened the doors for you, else.
This shows you that he
trusted you.
Listen, I back then I wouldn't have trust, I'd myself or confidence in myself, but when you've seen some a big figure like that, he's seen something in me as well, and then the following year I was able to, he didn't mind me coming down and helping out with training and just helping out, and then the kit man as well, Mert Kennedy then was there in 2000 and it would have been 17, and I was just helping him out as well, and we just all kind of gelled and clicked. And when you think back, I didn't really think it was a big honor or whatever, but I now you realize how precious those times were and stuff like that. Because I remember, I think it was 2017. I remember back then the league and then championship, there was a few weeks of a window, it wasn't just now as a split season, one the league finished and then going straight in championship. So I remember I was going down and helping out and doing stuff with the lads at training, and then I wasn't there for 2 or 3 weeks, and I went back down just before championship, and I remember Liam Curran saying, "Oh, Kevin, now have you lost your place? You haven't seen you for 2 or 3 weeks." I was just laughing, it's that bit of fun and that bit of crack as well, that we had. And it was just a special group. We had players, Mikey Quinn-Levin, Peter Atchison, Colin Reardon, Liam Casey,
What a team.
There were kind of, a lot of them were similar to my age. And
Conor Sweeney.
Unbelievable players.
Delighted they got their Munster medal in 2020. Yeah. I know you would have all loved it to have been the scenes that you had with the hurlers this year if it wasn't COVID, but at least they have their medals. Geez, Liam Kearns was a great man, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, he was fantastic, and it's 2 years now since he passed as well. So it's, I really think of the times that we had and the different things that he was such a lovely man, and what he did with Tip Football, it'll go down in history, really, because, to get a group of lads and to get, up the leagues to Division 2 or whatever, and then get into an All-Ireland semi-final, and, another day we would have possibly beaten Mayo at that time, and, could have gotten to an All-Ireland, but, those lads and all that gave me that confidence that, because there was a lot of outside noise, I remember, Tip Football, they're no good, and they showed that what was possible, and I remember I said, if they can do it, I can be a success as well in life. And I got to know a lot of them, even Colm O'Shaughnessy and myself were very good friends, and having that bond gave me the confidence that to go and say yes for things. Because otherwise I would have hid it away and wouldn't have really, give things a go in life. And So that really, you know, led on to As I Am and even my own club in recent times as well. Like Solid, like we're a small little parish in Tipperary in West Tip, and you know, a small club, but like I find that, you know, being involved and helping, you know, you get a different sense of being involved and helping with an inter-county football team to your own club. You know, I love helping out with Tip football as well, but with your club, it's like, you know, you realise it's an identity. It's like where my father was from, where his grandparents were from. So like there's history, you know, and it's an honour to be able to help, because you know, like small clubs nowadays are struggling with numbers as well. And you know, it's in 5 to 10 years, a lot of small clubs like Solihull, you know, mightn't be there, and hopefully that's not the case. And but it's to keep numbers and to keep guys playing, because young guys are going traveling, you know, working away, going to bigger cities. And you know, I'd like to, you know, that for me, what the club has given to me, I'd like to see, you know, that always being there. But you just don't know what the future holds.
Yeah, it's an amazing story, and one that really kind of underlines the power of the GAA if it can be correctly harnessed. That story you tell about the footballers is just phenomenal. On the hurling side of things, talk to us about the last couple of months. I mean, yeah, like, yeah. Has the party stopped down there?
No, I think we'll probably keep going till maybe Christmas and then pack it all in and then worry about next year, because it was crazy. Like, and I was like very honoured and fortunate to be involved with Tip FM and getting to a lot of the big games, even the Munster Championship games. I know our Munster Championship was up and down, and but we managed to get out at third place in Munster, and I think that was key for the young lads as well, that it gave them more games, and it was crazy when you think about it. Like, you know, I still vividly remember the game against Cork and Páirc Uí Chaoimh, and you know, that seconds when Darragh McCarthy got sent off and Noel McGrath dragging him off the field, and I was with Tip FM and all the media, they didn't know what to think, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it didn't go, you know, we stayed going and we tried, and you know, but like, it just shows you that what a few young lads can do, because you know, it's hard to believe where we were the following last year.
Yeah.
And we were getting better out the gate by teams, and you know, so it just shows you that we had underage minor success and under 20 success, and that I think that has really gave the seniors a great platform to have done what they did this year, I think.
Definitely. It was a hell of a way to win it. Kevin, just as a final point, what is the one message you'd love to get out there to the Irish public that you feel perhaps hasn't been appreciated just yet? You've obviously done a lot of work in terms of campaigning, as I say, as an ambassador for yourself, for Tipperary GAA. You've been an absolutely amazing ambassador as well, but I often find not always the messages get through to the people quite how you'd like it. So what is the kind of the final message you'd like the people to hear?
I'd like, you know, people to hear that, give people chances, you know, don't write off people, you know, that it might take time, it might, you know, because everyone, club or county, have something to offer. It mightn't just be playing, it might be helping with social media, it might be promoting games, looking after jerseys, water bottles, whatever, that, you know, that there's a place for everyone in the community. And you know, if you take it step by step, I guess anything is possible. Like you know, because everyone's path is different and everyone's journey is different, but I feel that if you just take it step by step, and you have good people around you, good friends, you know, that I have Tipperary, my family, you know, Solihull, you know, even the Camogie Association in Tipperary as well, that they've really, you know, have put great belief and time and just, you know, I'd love to see more, you know, people with disabilities involved and helping out, you know, because it can transform a club, it can transform a county setup as well, because you know that it's just that they you can bring something different or something unique as well that that maybe other people don't see, I guess.
For sure. Kevin, it's been brilliant spending some time in your company. Thanks a million for coming up the road to speak to us today. Best of luck with what's next, and maybe Tip will do back to back next year. You'll be an even happier man then.
Yeah, we'll see. I've never seen that now. People still love to remind us it was in 1965, 1966, yes, back then. Like, so it's been a long time, but we'll stop and enjoy this, yeah, this year, and we'll worry about next year in January, I guess.
Definitely. Kevin Hanley, a pleasure. Thank you.
Sound on.
Settle in on Off the Ball, brought to you by Guinness 00, proud partner of Croke Park Stadium and proud partner of the GAA.